It is time for Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch. Jim joins us on a Tuesday morning. Jim brings with him on our show here well over 40 years of being an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, politics, and sports. And we love chit-chatting with him here on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Jim.
And good morning to you, sir.
So,
how are you feeling? They got close yesterday, but not over.
Here's my feeling about the Giants and in sports in general. I knew that this year, first year of a new coach, was going to be a rough year anyways. If everything went perfect with the talent the Giants had, they were capable of winning probably five games. But in the first game of the season, they lost their major running back, Saquon Barkley, and they had some receivers down with injuries, and they're training a new defense. Things have been off to a disastrous 0-5 start. But when you look at that 0-5 start, games against the Cowboys, the Los Angeles Rams have been close games. And if you look at the NFC East, it's just a horrible division anyway. The club that's leading the division is 2-3. The Giants at 0-5 are two games back. Everybody else in that division only has one win. So I think we give Mr. Judge, if people forget Bill Parcells' first full season as a head coach, Giants only won three or four games.
Right. I remember.
So just, you know, we got to put the skids on, see what happens. We're obviously going to get another good draft pick this year. But I see something in the Giants that I didn't see the last year or the year before, and that is a fighting spirit. They don't roll over and die. So I feel pretty good about that. But now, getting back to sports, Jim, this has just been a terrible year, especially a terrible month. We lose Tom Seaver. We lose Whitey Ford. We lose Bob Gibson. And now we lose Joe Morgan. I mean, these are all incredible players that really made baseball what it is today.
Amen. Amen. Whitey Ford. Wow. Used to taunt us Dodger fans on for an item. And Seaver, I mean, incredible talent.
You see them go. And well, the great thing about these players, you know, Whitey Ford hasn't pitched in 50, 60 years. Tom Seaver hasn't pitched in about 25, 30 years. Bob Gibson in about 35, 40 years. Joe Morgan hasn't played for about 25 years. And yet, their visions remain as strong as they are today. That's one thing about athletes. You get to remember them in their prime.
No question about it. And you remember them because of their overall, how can I say it, the virtues of a great human being. I'm not saying they built the Brooklyn Bridge or anything, but, you know, to get out on a field every day, rain, shine, or whatever, and keep yourself in good enough shape, perform the best you can, that really is somewhat of a heroic feat, particularly when we realize as we get older that it's not the easiest thing in the world to do. But I have incredible memories of all of the guys you speak about. I guess I saw all of them play at least once, and some of them several times. But onward and upward, as they say.
That's right.
We got to move forward, and hopefully we're moving into something better overall for our country, namely getting back together as a country best we can. Let me go to something first that's very much right now in the halls of the Senate. The questioning of Amy Barrett for a spot as a Supreme Court justice. I just want to bring forward to the audience the fact that in 2016, Amy Barrett basically said that we should not try to propose and put in the Supreme Court during an election year. That was Amy Barrett. And this is 2020, and it's election year. And I know Lindsey Graham had done something similar when they put down Obama's choice, and now he has turned tail. So I think voters should truly appreciate that in the sense that people are entitled to change their mind, but they can't change the facts. And Gorsuch and Amy Barrett, two different timelines. She's got about 20 days to go before the election. He had 9 months. So put that in your hat when you go to vote. And voting is getting off to a tremendous start. The November 3, which is very, very positive. Hopefully, it's for our team, so to speak. But the idea that people are getting out and voting is so crucial. 2016 was very disappointing in terms of people getting out to vote. And we understand, you know, people had problems with the two candidates. But the vote is the last thing we have in this democratic society. And no matter what happens in Washington, we can still at least stand tall and say, well, I thought it over, and I thought I voted for the right guy or gal and what they stand for. So keep the faith and keep working at it and keep talking to your neighbors about these very important items, such as the CARE Act, the Affordable CARE Act that gets argued in the Supreme Court on November 10th. Now, it would be nice if someone like Lindsey Graham said, well, you have to recruit yourself, Amy Barrett, if you do get the nod, because it really is too political in nature, and in that we'll be talking about 30 days between your getting the nom and voting. So that's something to think about. Also, it's important to think about that I believe three-quarters of the country wants to continue affordable care. The current administration has no plan, has talked about a plan for 4 years to replace it. They've never done that. So if you want to vote for someone who cannot do something in 4 years, as simple as propose something, I'm simply saying propose it, not even change it, then good luck with that one. Now, in terms of the abortion situation, 70% of the people in this country favor a woman's right to choose. So keep in mind that as this particular person gets put on the Supreme Court or doesn't, because if she does, it's the Republican side. And you have a way to answer that on November 3rd. That's quite obvious.
You know, I've got to say something here. And I, you know, when the Republicans did what they did with President Obama's pick, it was their choice. They had the right to do it. They were the party in power. I didn't agree with it. What I did disagree with was how the Republicans in the House and the Senate for years held up the naming of judges for Obama. And now, of course, when President Trump got in, he had all these vacancies where he could line them up and get them through, which he's done. And for all the people asking questions of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, whether they're going to stuff the Supreme Court, well, guess what? Why answer it now? Let's see what happens with the election. The selection process for judges has become so politicized over the past 15 to 20 years that it's never going to go back. It's not going to go back. It's so heavily politicized you can bet you if the Democrats win the presidency and win the Senate, there's going to be an additional two or three Supreme Court seats added to the Supreme Court. And unfortunately, it's not an exactly great thing, but it's been so abused over the past 10 to 15 years We'll see what happens. I mean, we live in a totally different world now with appointees than we did 20, 25 years ago, Jim.
We certainly do. And it's a product that money has become so much more dominant than it's ever been, in that judgeships at every level, where some people think some judgeships at various levels are not important, but they're all important. And money changes hands to get appointed to those things, because there's a power that if you're a judge for 10 years, not even including those who are judges for life, you can do a lot of things to benefit yourself materially. And so let's get the huskings off our eyes, so to speak, and wake up to the fact that we're living in a world that is now dominated by corporations, big money, those types of interests. Dwight Eisenhower, the great general who helped win the Second World War, warned when he became president, we're going back now, folks, 70 years, he warned about the corporate industrial complex being too important in our country. And he saw that from the lens of seeing how powerful these corporations were when it came to saying, okay, we'll produce X amount of tanks, we'll do this, we'll do that. There was no check on them. Inherently, they had a power that nobody else had. So he warned us of that, and unfortunately, it's come true. It's come true 150%. And I'm not talking about Google and Facebook and their possible monopoly. I'm talking about Boeing, who can give $1 million at the Trump inaugural. Just think about that. A major supplier to the U.S. government gives somebody $1 million, a politician, and God knows how much more they've given prior to that to other politicians. So we really need to get very, very real and less complacent than I think we probably all have been, including the last 5 years. I think we've suddenly started thinking about it, but we're not doing it in a way that that really has been meaningful. I want to just reflect on one thing and love to hear Marshall's comments. The Republicans have been preaching this socialistic idea. That comes right out of the corporate industrial playbook. Let's knock socialism so we can grab all the goodies. Let's not give the average guy a break so we can get our tax break and we can get our contracts, which we get because we give X amount of politicians money. Please think of these things as you evaluate these candidates. Marshall?
Yeah, it's funny when you talk about that. You know, when you look at evaluating the candidates and you look at evaluating the parties that go along with it, first things first, both parties are responsible for the state that we are in right now when it comes to nominees, because both parties have in the Senate. And you still there, Jim? Jim, you still there? Yeah, I thought we lost him. Both parties are the ones that are responsible. Let's see if I can get him back here. I don't know why we lost him, but there was a power surge somewhere. Let's see if we can get him back here. Oh, he's calling back on the other line. Good, all right. Yeah, Jim, I know we lost you there for a second.
Yeah, I apologize. Yeah. I switched ears.
All right,
and,
yeah.
And the right ear didn't want to go. It wanted to stay on the left ear. Go ahead.
That's okay. I've been hung up before. But what I'm saying, both Republicans.
And that was not a hung up.
I know.
That was a mistake.
Both parties are responsible for where we are now, because the Congress and both parties and the Senate have slowly tried to eke away. And the presidency has tried to eke away power and has successfully bypassed Congress and the Senate for both parties for many years now, going back 20 years. And now both parties in the House are so tight with their own parties, there's no negotiating. But what's you know, when you look at your vote this year, there's some things that people have to understand. You look at our unemployment figures, as dire as they are right now, and they're given by the government, but our unemployment figures only show the number of people who are unemployed from jobs they held, okay? From jobs they held, and when they're unemployed, those jobs are still open. But unemployment figures do not include people who can't get a job, whether it's because of education, whether it's because of their color, whether it's because whether they're gay or straight, whether it's because they're black, white, purple, or Islam or Jewish. If you included the number of people that want to work that can't get a job, our unemployment figures are downright scary. They're scarier than what you have right now. So we're not informed best. And when you have a presidential race that is during a pandemic, okay, and you have two political parties that are so at odds with one another, add to that you have the Republican Party trying to protect their future by ramming through very quickly a Supreme Court nomination. And I'm not going to necessarily, I mean, I don't like it. I think it's wrong. But I understand that it is politics in the way we live now. So you have to look when you're going to vote for president of the United States, no matter who it is you're going to vote for. Take a look at the long-term effects of what we're living through right now and everything that's associated with the pandemic, the economy, unemployment, you name it. And then you look at what's going on in the world, and you look at China now as finally increasing their economy because they're coming out of their pandemic. And when you vote for president, you have to get past the idiocy that seems to reign supreme, where people are just totally locked in on one issue. It used to be a deadly thing if you were a one-issue candidate. Now you can be a one-issue candidate on three issues.
You can be a one-issue brain. I wanted to just go back to something that I was listening to both of you, and I had to hobble in here quickly to just throw this out. First and foremost, and I know Marshall shares this position, whoever you vote for, just vote. You know, it's like we just vote. Exercise that right. It's really important. I lost my mind, I think it was in the last few days, I mean, again, mostly because of the candidate that through the help, yay for the internet, yay for money, he raised $57 million. Now, in my view, that $57 million at this time, you know, which is going to go, I guess, to ad buying. I had a friend many, many years ago, and he liked to grow potatoes. And he basically said, you know, you have to understand that these are, you know, gold-plated potatoes. They're $60 a potato, for his crop. And I don't know what they're going to end up spending on a vote. But just stop for one second. $57 million bloody dollars in a week, in a pandemic, when a lot of people are hurting? That's all I wanted to say.
I'd like to add to that, and I don't know that my figure is correct, because I read it in the article about the $57 million, and it was stated that the average contribution was $35. So if that is accurate, I think what we're seeing is an incredible outpouring from people, not only in the state, but out of the state.
Oh, it's out of the state, certainly. Yeah, and Marshall's okay with that, and I'm not.
Wait a second. I mean, if it's truly $35 and it's coming from out of the state as well, it's a call, in my humble opinion, for social justice. I think it's a way for people to say, we're tired of Lindsey Graham and his toting up to the president and whatever else he's been doing, which has not been in his state, but rather hobnobbing in D.C. all these years.
You know, Jim.
So, go ahead, Marissa.
I want to respond to Jill and say that what Jill is saying would be correct, except for one thing. With the passage of that bill many years ago that allowed...
Were you Citizens United?
Yeah. That allowed corporations to be as individuals. Yeah. The only way you can combat that dark money, the only way you can combat
it... I don't disagree.
...is by being a candidate and say, listen, we... And so you have to raise that money from a million people at $35 a piece because that's the only way you can combat the dark money.
Right. And what I want to say, just randomly, is I get that completely. And I'm struck that that model works there. And yet, you know, we are trying to do something here, you know, and you can't, could we, it would be really nice if we were able to raise a fraction of that just for the good.
Absolutely. But unfortunately, this is another thing for the election. What made Citizens United so bad is that it opened up the taps for things like this to happen.
Right.
And you know what? Both parties are gonna rue the day that happened, unless Citizens United is struck down, because it's basically changed the way people are elected, and it's changed the way people are elected from your local state senator or state representative right up to the presidency. It's a money game, and unfortunately, Jim, we only have about a minute left. I'll leave you to the last minute.
Well, we must remind our audience that we spoke very strongly against that particular piece of legislation, and we forecasted exactly what's happening now, not by the dollar or anything, but it would create an undue influence by money. So, you know, we don't speak on this show in a flippant way. We speak for the common good, which is each and every person who listens, who happens to be an American citizen or an immigrant or a voter. In any event, next week it's time for the Giants to win one.
Hey,
and I'm predicting that right now. I don't even know who they're playing, but I just know, based on what Coach Miles has told me, that they have it in them to keep going. So
signs of life. It's great.
They're playing St. Mary's Catholic, and I think they have a good chance. All right, Jim.
Have a great one.
We'll speak to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here this morning on Robin Hood Radio.